Well, good morning. I am really so glad to be here with you today and to see all of your faces. I actually missed the first Kindred meeting, which was several weeks ago, so this is my first meeting back. And so all of those sort of warm, fuzzy feelings that you guys were feeling last week or last time, I'm just hitting today. So sorry if I get weepy. I don't know if this is, if other people are experiencing this, but I feel like these days, my emotions are really right on the surface. I feel like all the stuff from the last year and a half has sort of rubbed away at my outer layer of emotional regulation. I don't even know if that's a thing, but you know what I mean. I feel like the bottom line is it doesn't take much for me to get weepy. So, and if there's two things that really do get me going, it's talking about the things that God has done in my life, and also talking about the beauty and the wonder of God as it's revealed, as He is revealed in the Word. So today might be a minefield. So if I, but you've been warned. So if I get weepy, let me skip. Yeah. So I want to just start with this funny little Peanuts, because I love Peanuts, but I'm probably too old, and you probably, y'all might not know, but it's Charlie and his sister Sally, and they got a phone call. They want you to teach at Bible school, and she's like, teach who? You mean there's somebody that knows less than me? And I relate to that because I just don't feel, I feel unqualified to be standing up here before you, and the only reason that I am here is because of the grace and goodness of God, who for some reason likes to use the least likely of people. But a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Saturday morning Kindred Coffee, which I know some of you were at too, which was really fun. And Amelia and Lindsay had set out a beautiful craft table. It was very inspirational. And they had put this sign up to remind us, I think, of the theme of the year, Songs of Ascent. And at the bottom, it has this question: how do we honor the lament of these times, of these difficult times, yet sing of the joy that we have in the Lord? And I really thought a lot about that. And how do we hold those two things, the lament and the grief and the joy, together at the same time? And then I read our verse, which is our theme verse for the year. And I think that the way we do that is by lifting our eyes to the Lord, who is our help, the maker of heaven and earth. And I'm convinced that the one really important way that we do that, that we lift our eyes, is, and maybe the most important way, is to behold Him in His Word, the Bible. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today and focus on, our deep need to spend time reading and studying the Bible. And why? Because what our souls need the most is deep communion with the God who loves us and who created us for relationship with Him. It's really hard, if not impossible, to have a relationship with someone who you're not interacting with, who you're not talking with. And prayer is, of course, how we speak with God, but reading the Bible is the primary way that God speaks to us. And so we desperately need to be hearing from Him in His Word. And it's also really hard to be in an intimate relationship with someone who you don't know very well. And the way that we get to know God is through reading the Bible, where He has revealed Himself to us graciously through His Word. And because the goal, really, of reading and studying Scripture is not just to know things about God or to just accumulate a lot of Bible knowledge so you can ace the Bible category in Jeopardy. That's not why we do it. The goal is really so that we can grow in our understanding of who God is, of His character, of His purposes and His ways. And as well, so we can gain a better understanding of who we are in Him, what our purpose is, and where we fit in the grand story, so that then we can be shaped by those truths. Because the truth is that we're all being shaped by something. And in this digital age, we are bombarded with so much information, from social media to the news to Netflix and infotainment. And not that there's anything wrong with these, any of those things in and of themselves and in appropriate doses, but what we may not realize is whether we like it or not, those things are shaping us, what we consume, what we take in, what we behold. And what we consume the most is shaping us. And so I think we just need really heavy doses of scripture to renew our minds, to remind us of the true story that we're in, and to reorient us to what is true and what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is commendable, all of those great things from Philippians. We need to think about those things. And all of those good and true things have their source in the God of the Bible. So I want to stop, though, right now and tell you that as I'm saying all of this, I am very aware that I'm speaking to the group of people that probably have the least amount of discretionary time in their lives. As moms, we just have a lot of demands on our time. And we are now hopefully coming out of a season that has been especially stressful. The stress of the pandemic, of shutdowns and school closures and isolation and illness and societal divisions and politics and all of it has just been a lot. And on top of the normal challenges and of juggling parenthood and work and volunteer commitments, and then that's all on top of anything that you and your family might be dealing with that's unique to you. And it's just been a lot. It is a lot. But I am here to bear witness that through the craziest, darkest, busiest, most difficult days, those were the times when I most needed to immerse myself in the Word. And the thing that has sustained me and that continues to sustain me is knowing God and feeding my faith and my trust in Him by digging deeper and deeper into the Word. So I want to stop there and just kind of back up and give you a little bit of my story briefly for time. I grew up in a Christian home in the church, and I was baptized really young at age 8. But for years, even though I believed, I didn't really grow. As I look back and think about it now, and I've done a lot of thinking about it, I think I was using all my church activities and all of later on all of the activities at my Christian university, doing all of the religious things as a substitute for having a real deep relationship with the Lord. And that eventually caught up with me. After college, when I moved up to D.C., I got out into the real world and out of my Christian bubble, and I just walked away from all of it. I would have said, if you'd asked me, that yes, I still believed, but it didn't really show up in my life. I was not in church, I was not in the Word, and I just rebelled against all of that and went looking for meaning and life and satisfaction in all of the wrong places in the world. So the good news, though, is that through all of that, God was still pursuing me. He didn't give up. And it was through some really difficult and painful circumstances that really just brought me to my knees, I mean, literally and figuratively, and brought me to the end of myself that I started coming back to the Lord. Some of you have already know this story, and I've shared more about it at length other places. But for the first 7 years of our marriage, my husband really struggled with alcoholism. And that was really, as I look back, probably the hardest season of my life up to this point. I just felt so helpless and out of control. But all going through all of that really pushed me to a place where I began to seek God again out of just desperation and not knowing what else to do. And I really, honestly, I realized how far that I had wandered away. from him. And so I started really pressing in, and I started praying again and reading the Bible. And what happened was that I just fell in love with the Bible. Or more precisely, I fell in love with the God of the Bible. And thankfully, Joel got the help he needed and has been in recovery for years now. And but then again, this past summer, he was diagnosed with major depression. And so we again went back through some really hard, dark days. And again, praise God that he's doing really well and he is getting treatment and he's in a good place. And I just want to stop and make sure to say that he has given me permission to share all that, because we both believe that when we're honest and transparent about our struggles, that that helps other people and it gives glory to God through our trials. So I share that with permission. But what I also want to share with you is that through all of those trials, and all the good times, because there were lots of good times, you know, in the middle of all of that, and there still are, but through all of that and everything in between, God really sustained us and upheld us by his word, and the promises, and the hope, and the strength, and the comfort, and the truth that that God uses all things. He's sovereign, and none of our suffering and none of our hardships are wasted. But what I really also found is that just the beauty and the mystery and the wonder and the hope of God's grand story in his Bible was really transforming. So what I want to do now with the rest of my time is just kind of share with you some things that really helped me in my Bible study, things that really sort of just open things up for me. So, and I've narrowed it down to three things. Here we go. Reading the Bible Christocentrically, and I'm really sorry for that long seminary word. I was trying to get something that started with a C, so they'd all start with a C. So that's just something teachers sometimes do. But really what that means is that it all points to Jesus, everything, the whole Bible, even the Old Testament. And then the second one was reading the Bible in community. That has been so huge for me, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. And then the third one is kind of obvious, but reading with commitment. Just being committed to it, but also being creative when the plan all goes out the window. So I wanted to just stop. I know that we're all from different backgrounds, and we all have different levels of familiarity and experience with the Bible. So just real quick, a quick overview. The Bible, of course, is one big book, but it's made up of lots of smaller books. It's kind of like a library. It's 66 books. It was written over 1,000-year span by over 40 authors in three different languages. And the Bible is a human and divine partnership. We like to say it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed or God-spirited, which basically just means that God's Holy Spirit used and worked with the personalities and the styles of the individual authors to give us the gift of the Word. And Scripture testifies to this. In 2 Timothy 3, it says all Scripture is breathed out by God. And then 1 Peter 1:21 says that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but God, they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And just in case we were in any doubt about this being a miraculous divine project, some absolute genius of a person mapped out all the times in the Bible that the Bible refers to itself, or there's cross references. And all, or hyperlinks, somebody I was listening to called them hyperlinks. And he turned it into this visual presentation, which is just stunning and beautiful. So, so all of the little stories in the Bible, all of the little books, really are telling one big unified story. And it's revealed progressively from Genesis to Revelation, and it really is all about Jesus. And just to show you, the Bible even begins and ends like a story. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. And then all the way, fast forward to the end, Revelation 22, this is when, you know, the new heaven and the new earth, and God is dwelling with his people. And they will reign forever and ever. Sounds a little bit like happily ever after, doesn't it? So, and there's a ways that we, the whole big meta story can be kind of summed up with four parts. Creation, fall, and you guys probably have heard this before. Creation, fall, redemption, and then restoration or new creation. And creation, obviously, starts in Genesis 1 and 2. The Trinitarian God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, out of their great love, create the world. And, of course, the pinnacle of their creation was mankind. They created human beings, uniquely made in their image. And they dwell in the garden with God, the garden that God made for them, and in Eden. And their relationships are perfect. They have a perfect relationship with God. They have a perfect relationship with each other and with nature. And God pronounces it very, very good. But then you get to Genesis 3. It doesn't take very long before God's good world goes bad. And this is the fall when Adam and Eve are tempted by the serpent, which is really Satan in serpent form. And instead of trusting God, they believe his lies. And they choose to decide for themselves what is good and evil, as opposed to trusting God's definition of good and evil. And this rebellion against God's good and loving rule unleashes sin and brokenness and disorder and death into the world. But all is not lost. Redemption. And most people would argue that the redemption story begins in Genesis 12 with the calling of Abraham and the start of Israel's story, from which the Messiah would come out of Israel. And, of course, reach its climax in the cross where Jesus sacrifices himself for us. And that's true. But I also believe there's some hints that we see a lot earlier. Immediately after the fall, God clothed Adam and Eve. It says they were embarrassed because they were naked. And God clothed them with animal skins, which just foreshadows, of course, the provision of a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice and a covering for sin. And then in Genesis 3:15, God is promising a future son that would come and would crush the serpent and defeat sin and evil and forever. And if you remember your literature studies in school, there's a lot of foreshadowing of Jesus throughout the Old Testament in Israel's story. Jesus is the true spotless Passover lamb who is slain to save his people. And Jesus is the one who provides the true Exodus story, the true Exodus out of the slavery to sin. And Jesus is tested in the wilderness, just like Israel was. But instead of failing, he passes the test and resists Satan's lies. Jesus is the perfect high priest, the one perfect mediator between God and man who reconciles us and brings us back into the presence of the Lord. And Jesus is the true king who reigns in righteousness and justice forever. And those are just a few. There's lots and lots more. The Old Testament is just full of shadows and pointers and patterns, but Jesus is the substance. And he is the fulfillment of everything. All the promises of God are yes in him. And then finally, the final fourth part is new creation or restoration. Of course, that's the happy ending, the final renewal and restoration of all things when Jesus returns, the new heavens and the new earth. And we have that certain hope that we know the end of the story, and it's a good one. And this is also the way that Jesus and his earliest followers read the Bible. And remember, at the time when Jesus was on earth, they didn't have the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. So all of these verses are referring to the Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament. So the first one here is from Luke 24. This is when Jesus, after his resurrection, he appears to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he tells them, he opens up the Bible to them so they can understand. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interprets to them all of the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He says, it's all about me. I think that would have been the best Bible study ever because Jesus is leading it. And then John 5, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and he says, you search the scriptures because in them you think there's eternal life, but those testify about me. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy about these sacred writings that he wants them to continue to be trained in because they're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's all about him. But I wasn't taught this way, to read the Bible this way when I was growing up. I don't know, maybe you were, but it was really revolutionary to me to start learning to see all these connections. And it really strengthened my faith and my trust in the God who so loves us that his plan all along was to rescue us. His plan all along was to send Jesus to be our perfect sacrifice so he could die and rise again and reconcile us and all of creation back to God, and so that we could be forgiven and we could have new life in his spirit. So that really just was a huge aha. It's still an aha moment because I'm still learning and still growing and still learning to see all of that. But I wanted to just recommend some good resources that kind of help us read the Bible this way. And one is really simple. It's just having a good study Bible. And I've got some suggestions here. But the great thing about having a study Bible is before every chapter of the Bible, there's a summary. There's who wrote it, when it was written, what the historical background is, and how it fits into the whole redemptive story, how it fits in the whole picture. So you get oriented to where am I in the story, and that's just been really helpful. And then another great tool, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bible Project, but they have a website, and they do these amazing videos. They have overviews of every book of the Bible, and then they also have theme videos where they'll trace a theme, like the temple or atonement or sacrifice, and they'll go all the way through the Bible, and they'll trace it from Genesis to Revelation. And their videos are really short. They're like 5 to 7 minutes long. My kids love to watch them. They have learned so much. I have learned so much. They also have a podcast, which if you really want to take a deep dive into nerd town, but in a good way, they're self-described Bible nerds, so that's a good thing. But it's been really, really great for me, and I've been really blessed by it. So the second thing I wanted to really talk about is studying the Bible in community with other people. Because, we were created in the image of this God who is in himself three persons in a loving community. And we were made in his image, so we were made to be in community with one another. And especially with Bible study, I think it's so important. I think we need one another so we can talk with one another about what we're learning, so we can encourage one another to stick with it, so we can wrestle with the things that are hard, because let's be honest, there are really hard parts of the Bible that are really hard to understand. So it's good that we can talk about those things and wrestle with them and really sort of come to a greater understanding together. And then the other good thing about organized Bible studies is they typically study whole books of the Bible at a time over a period of time. So you're not getting a verse here or there out of context. You're really reading the Bible as it was intended to be read, which is, kind of large chunks at a time. So you can really digest it and understand it in its historical context and in its biblical context. And I've been in organized Bible study now for almost 14 years. And I am not the same person that I was when I started. The word really is living and active, and it really does change us. It gave me a way to stay accountable and consistently be in the Word. And it also gave me a wonderful community of other women of all different ages and stages who also really wanted to get closer and know God better. And I've developed some of the richest and deepest friendships of my life through being in that study. And plus, there's a children's program. So when my children were little, I could just drop them off and know that they were loved and cared for and that they were also going to be learning about Jesus. And then I could go and take a break and take a deep breath and just focus on God and have some adult conversations, which were really was really good. It's not unlike Kindred in that respect. So, and plus, it's just fun. So I really encourage you that if you're looking for a way to get back into regular Bible study, particularly after this season that we've been through, it's better together. So your church may already have a women's Bible study going, but if not, I want to just tell you about a couple options that meet here at Cherrydale. Cherrydale Women's Bible Study meets here on Wednesdays, and there's a Wednesday morning and an evening option. I think they're studying Leviticus, but then going to study Hebrews next time, so which is a great pairing up. I love that. Talk about seeing the connections. It's awesome. And then the other option is, that meets here at Cherrydale is Community Bible Study, which is not affiliated with Cherrydale. We have, you know, women from all different churches and women who don't necessarily go to church, but they're just hungry and seeking. And that meets on Tuesday mornings. There's also evening and Zoom options for that one as well. So I put the websites up here. If you're interested, there's more information about each program, and there's also you can also find out how to register if that's something that the Lord is leading you to. And then the third thing I want to really quickly talk about is commitment, because we're running out of time. It's just personal time in the Bible, commitment to personal time in the Bible. And something that I've learned is that if I don't plan for it, it will not happen. So I encourage you to just sort of make a plan for how and when and where you will study and read the Bible, whatever works for you and your family, because I know it's a season of life right now. So it might mean setting the morning alarm just a little bit earlier, or squeezing it in at nap time, or hiding in the bathroom for 15 minutes with your phone and a Bible app, because I have done that. And I added the creativity part to this because I know that also from experience that I can make a beautiful plan, but then kids and life and everything will wreck that plan. So just be flexible. And if the plan gets messed up, that's okay. We need to give ourselves grace in this season that we're in and just trust God that he's working in the midst of it. And pray. This is the one thing I probably should have talked about more, but this is the most important thing that we can do is God is just pray and ask for help. God has given us his spirit as a helper. And part of his job description is just to help us see Jesus and to help us understand the Bible and help us to guide us into all truth. And so pray and ask God for help. Ask him to work in you to increase your hunger and your thirst for his word, or just to recognize that we need it because it's life-giving. And this is just the final two scriptures I wanted to share with you. Matthew 4:4, this is Jesus quoting from Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And if Jesus needed it for his very life, we certainly do. And then Isaiah 55, I love this. This is Isaiah pleading with Israel to turn away from worthless things that don't satisfy, that can't fill you up. And to eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline their ears and hear. Come to God and hear him that your soul may live. It's life-giving. And be patient. Be patient with yourself. This journey is a lifelong journey. And if this season is hard, there'll be another season around the corner where you may have more time. But the journey to know and love God is so worth it. Knowing God's story, knowing how it unfolds itself from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it infuses our lives, our little stories, with purpose and meaning and abundant life and resilient hope and even true joy in the midst of the hardest places. So that is what I wanted to share with you today. And I'm going to leave this slide up for a minute because these are some books that have really helped me and that I would recommend to you. I have some of them available to give away. So if you are interested in a free book, come see me later. And I'll just leave this up here for a minute. But I think we wanted to end with a song, right? So the final song, it's called Sing the Story. And since our theme is songs of ascent, it's just a beautiful, it's really the whole story of the Bible set to music. And I thought it would be a good way for us to end with meditating on that. And hopefully I can get it going. I think we've got it, Adam. We don't have sound.
The volume's off on all
of this. There we go. Let's start it. Yep, it's the Spotify.
Oh. Yeah, volunteers.
Non-professionals. Yes. This theater man. Full screen.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start over. Okay, we're all out of time anyway. All right. If you have a kid upstairs, say, sneak out. Bring him down.
Or down there. But God intended still to dwell among his people who rebel. So he elected Israel, darkness to one day dispel. Let us sing the story of our God, who's turning darkness into light. Let us sing the story of our God, who's turning death back into life. He is making all things right. Earth is filled with heaven's light. So let us sing the story of our God, who's making all things new. Behold the Lamb of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. For a kingdom he proclaimed, coming Spirit's flame. When nails and fangs looked like defeat, for Israel's true royal seed, he crushed the snake beneath his feet. The Lamb of God won victory, crucified and crowned as king. Earth is filled with this night, the first fruits of eternal life, ascended to the Father's side, till He returns to here abide, with new creation in His sight. He'll wipe away death's wicked blight. From empty graves the saints will rise to praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Carrie, I love that. Yes. That's a fantastic song. Thank you.
I don't even know if it's like a real album.
It's just a demo song. It's not even a real song. That's amazing. Thank you.
John? Nick O'Brien, who I think he's a worship leader at a church, and he just wrote it for his church to have something to sing that